It's the North London Derby on Sunday, and Paddy Power are giving money back as cash on all markets if Spurs beat Arsenal. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, your one-stop shop for all of your betting analysis going into another fantastic game week of footballing action. Myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside Mark Langdon and Bobby Jackson from The Racing Post Sport Desk, as well as Paddy Power's very own Brian McDonald, three great panellists today. Mark, we'll come to you first, mate. We had a winning treble on last week's postcast, and I know a lot of our brilliant listeners do back that, so a nice weekend for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It was enhanced, wasn't it, by Paddy Power to 11-2, and it wasn't much danger, really. I mean, once Brighton had done the business in that first one, Leeds were always in control, and Brentford absolutely hosed up. So, you have to celebrate it when they do win so easily, because normally it's much more difficult than that. There's usually a sweat up somewhere along the lines, but it was pretty comfortable.
Brentford seem the kind of certainties on the Akers every week at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, that since the restart, they have kind of carried on the, I think in terms of form, in terms of the way they play, it's been like that for most of the season, but that they seem to run into a few troubles, whether it was sort of efficiency defensively or missing chances, but the front three are absolutely firing on all cylinders at the moment. They just need one of the kind of top two to slip up, don't they? Otherwise, they'll go into the playoffs and just, for their sake, just wonder if they'll get beat by a kind of more pragmatic, dogged side, in the playoffs. But they would absolutely grace the Premier League. I think probably the top three at the moment in the Championship all play, good football, got attacking players, and would be a credit, I think, to the top flight. Unlike your boys, Jack.
Yeah, well, I was glad I made a sin last weekend and I did go with the treble. So I was glad about that. Went against my own team, Norwich. I was also glad because I was very keen on both Luton and Barnsley. One got done 5-0 and the other 4-0. So that wasn't quite as successful. Brian, good to have you along, mate. We were speaking pre-recording, and Bruce's column in the Racing Post today has spurred a few bets. Where's the money going here?
Yeah, Bruce, your good friend, he tipped up Man United to win the league next season at 14-1. And we've seen a flood of bets come in off the back of that this morning. For me, there's probably too much of a gap to bridge up to back them outright, maybe an each way pick. They're playing with so much confidence now. Obviously, Bruno Fernandes coming in, he's changed everything, really. The belief, their front players, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood, they've been a world apart to how they were playing before January. I'm sort of looking at this as like a second sort of honeymoon spell for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He had it when he first came in last season. They went on the incredible run. They knocked PSG out of the Champions League, but it did go a bit pear-shaped from there. Finished the season quite poorly. They had an indifferent start to this season. But since January, since Fernandes has come in, they've been playing fantastically. Pogba's back. They're getting results again. I don't think it's down to the manager, though, in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I don't think it's been a tactical overhaul of how they've been playing. I think just the sheer quality that Bruno has brought in has given a lift to every player in that squad. So, in that sense, I can think Ole can consider himself a bit fortunate that the board have brought this player in. I'd like to see how they react now if United had a poor runner of results at the start of next season, because I think with the midfield and the front three they have at the minute, if they had, I know we talked about Pochettino a lot throughout the season and even before Ole came in last season, if he was there, I think they'd be in a shoe-in for the top four and could definitely push City and Liverpool close. But I just don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the man who can actually bring the title to Old Trafford.
Bobby, it would take a massive swing for Manchester United to go on and pick up silverware in the Premier League. Do you think they're capable of it?
I think they've got some of the tools at the moment. As mentioned just there, Bruno Fernandes' arrival has absolutely spurred them on, hasn't it, since January. I've not seen a player for some time that's come in and had the type of impact that he's had so quickly, scoring goals, getting assists, and looks like he was born to wear that Man United shirt and bring a bit of pride back to the club that maybe has been missing over the last few years. But you just look at the other clubs around them. Chelsea have already signed a couple of players in Werner and Ziyech. City are likely to go out and spend. Liverpool are already so far ahead, and I just think that Arsenal and Tottenham are probably going to start closing that gap as well. I'd expect them to do a bit of business. So I just expect next season to be hugely competitive. I'm not quite sure if I would go as far as saying United good enough to go and win the title, but I think next season we could see that big six, as it's been dubbed over the last few years, get a little bit closer together. I think that would be great from the outside, a neutral standpoint, to see a bit more competition for the title. It's been a few years since we've seen three, four teams maybe in the mix for it, and certainly that top four race as well.
Yeah, it's very exciting, isn't it? If you would like to read Bruce's column all about it with his explanations and everything, go over to the Racing Post Sport. You can see it online, or of course, in the Racing Post newspaper as well. And you can see all of Mark's ackers, as we spoke about at the top of the show. Okay then, gents, let's get into this week's Premier League action then. It's, again, action-packed. We'll start with Thursday night's games. We're recording this on Thursday, so hopefully you're tuning in before these ones kick off. It's 6 o'clock, Bournemouth versus Spurs, live on Sky One and also Sky Sports. Brian, a show of the odds for this, please, mate.
Yeah, Bournemouth are 4-1. The draw is 3-1, and Tottenham are 8-13.
And where do you see the value lying here?
Tottenham, they're a bit short for me at 8-13. They've only won 3 out of their 16 away games, so I still think they will win. But I'd like to just boost that price up a bit. I'll go with Tottenham to win and under 4.5 goals. That's a 10-11. It's clicked in 9 out of Tottenham's 13 league wins this season. So I think that will be my play here. Bournemouth, you know, they've been doomed for a long way out. I think a couple of months ago when I was on the podcast, they were 6-4 to go down, and a couple of us were tipping them up, and it hasn't really got better for them since then. 1 point in the last 8 games, none since the restart. Their 2 home games, you know, really poor results. 2-0 at home to Palace, 4-1 home defeat to Newcastle. In both of those games, they managed just 1 shot on target. So firepower is what they're really missing. You know, Callum Wilson, he had 4 goals back in mid-September. He's only added another 4 since then. Josh King has been unlucky with injuries this season. He only has 5 league goals. Dominic Solanke, the replacement, he hasn't scored for Bournemouth in 40 league games. You know, so when your strikers are coming out with those numbers, it's hard to have any faith in getting a result. I think Eddie Howe, looking back in the season, one regret might be letting Jermaine Defoe go on a free transfer. He's 37 years of age, but I know if I was a fan and you needed a goal in the last 10 or 15 minutes, I'd probably have more faith in Defoe coming on than some of the options there. So Tottenham, look, they haven't set the world alight since the restart. A couple of good home wins, but I think they'll be too good for Bournemouth here. So Spurs and under 4.5 goals for me.
A good chance your boys here, Mark.
I think Spurs will win. I thought they were sort of correctly priced and should win ordinarily, just because of how bad Bournemouth have been. It's just some of their numbers are just horrendous, and it's not only the defensive ones. I think, as Brian was just alluding to there, the attacking ones as well. I mean, Bournemouth are a team that have been noted for They're kind of flair, I suppose, in the way that they get after teams and create opportunities. They played a little bit better, I suppose, at Old Trafford last week, but they've still conceded 5 goals in the end of that game. And I just look at, you know, even Spurs haven't got, you know, that much of an away record, so to speak, but the wins have come under Jose Mourinho. And, you know, you look at that, whatever front three picks, you know, including Son and Kane, should have a bit of a field day, really, against that Bournemouth defence. And I thought the 8-13, you know, around about that price, was about right for Tottenham, and I think they'll win.
OK, Mark. Bobby, any chance for Bournemouth here?
I'm struggling to come up with much of an argument for them, to be honest, as we've just heard there, the thoughts of everyone on here. It's not been a great season for Bournemouth, has it? 5 seasons now in the top flight, and I think they've just been poor, really, in their recruitment for me. That they've not really added the right type of players. They've spent big money on quite a few flops, really. Players in particular from Liverpool, Jordan Ibe, Dominic Solanke, haven't done the business. There was a huge reliance on Callum Wilson, who has performed over the last few years despite his injuries, but it just hasn't happened for him this year either. So you do fear for them, and I think relegation is probably on the cards. In terms of this game, I'd be looking at Tottenham to win, both teams to score. I know we've been talking now about maybe Bournemouth's lack of goals at times this season, but they have scored just over half of their goals on home soil this season. I think they'll be good for one tonight. Spurs all tend to score on the road. I think it's all but three of their games away from home this season that they've scored in. So I'd be looking to try and get a bit more value out of that Tottenham win, as we've been trying to do, and Tottenham to win 2-0. Bournemouth did win this one 1-0 last season, but they're a completely different side at the moment. You used to be able to rely on them to score goals to get them out of situations, winning matches by scoring three and maybe conceding two, but it's just defensively this term. They've been all over the place. So that Tottenham win, both teams to score, I think, for me.
Yeah, hard to argue with that, gents. It's the next game in the Premier League, 6 o'clock once again, Everton versus Southampton. This one's on Amazon Prime and also Twitch. Brian, how are Paddy Power pricing this?
Everton are 11 to 10. The draw is 12 to 5, and Southampton are also 12 to 5.
Where will your money be going here?
I'll go with Southampton just for the price at 12 to 5. You know, both teams are safe. Absolutely nothing to play for. Everton have won 8 of their 16 home games this season, while Southampton have won 8 of their 16 away games this season. So I'll go with Southampton just for the value. Everton, they were quite lackluster against Spurs the other day. It was probably one of the worst televised Premier League games of all time. Their midfield were very sloppy, struggled to play out from the back with the high press from Tottenham, and it could be more the same this evening. You know, Danny Ings, Shane Long, James Ward-Prowse, whatever front players Hasenhüttl has there, they're great at chasing down loose balls and putting defences under pressure. Their win against City last weekend, very impressive with them. You know, it was a result of a huge team effort over 90 minutes. City had 26 shots in that game, only 6 on target, 11 of them were blocked. It was really bodies on the line defending from Southampton, and their desire they had to hold on to those 3 points was exceptional. Danny Ings, obviously, he's having the best season of his career. You know, he has 18 league goals, finally fulfilling that potential that, you know, brought him to Liverpool a couple of years back. We actually haven't boosted on Paddy Power, 11 to 2 to score first. You won't get a bigger price anywhere else than that. So with the form he's in, definitely value there. So I'll go with Southampton to win and Ings' first goal scorer.
Yeah, I like the sound of that, Brian. Mark, Southampton have looked good, haven't they?
Oh, they have, yeah. It's a very strange team. It would be a bit Southampton-esque if they followed up a win over City with, you know, an absolute no-show next time out, because they are a bit of a difficult team, I think, to call. If you are back in Southampton, I think the great sort of boost that you get there is that they really tried against Man City. You know, I was a little bit concerned about teams stuck in mid-table, nothing to play for, how they'd sort of react to no crowd, because that was sort of, you know, it was something I thought maybe a couple of them may just roll over, you know, but nothing like that. I fancy a draw, I think, in terms of this game. Everton are much better at Goodison Park than they are on their travels. There's clearly a mental sort of issue, I think, for Ancelotti to solve with Everton, because whenever they go away to big teams, they just don't produce the kind of form that you expect of them. And that was another no-show at Spurs on Monday. You know, once they conceded the goal, I thought the onus was all on them, you know, to try to get back into the game, and they never really looked like doing that. So struggling to necessarily back Everton to win the game, but they are unbeaten at home under Carlo Ancelotti. And you know, I think Southampton, if they could get a point out of this game and back up what was a really good performance last week, I expect Hasenhüttl would be, you know, reasonably happy as well.
Yeah, tough one to call this, Bobby. Where does your money lay here?
I mean, I've got to agree with Brian there in terms of the Danny Ings bet. I think he's looked great all season, hasn't he? 18 goals he's got, as mentioned, and he's scored 3 times since the restart as well. I think looks a fantastic option. 10 of his 18 goals have come away from home too, so that sort of coincides with Southampton's form on the road this season. He's clearly been key to that. One interesting thing to me was potentially looking at a correct score in this one. The last 3 meetings between these two sides have finished 2-1 either way. So sort of looking for the value in that. There's a fair bit in both sides. 2-1 for Everton at 7-1. You can get Southampton at 2-1. To win 2-1, sorry, at 10-1. So I might even go towards Southampton with that one. Everton, as Mark mentioned, have been really strong at home, unbeaten in 9 now. But I just can't get behind Everton. A little bit like Leicester since the restart. I just feel like they're lacking a bit of cutting edge. They've not quite clicked for me. Got lots of really quality players in there before the break. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison playing fantastically well. The return of Andre Gomes, I thought, was going to spur them on a little bit, but that's not even done it. So Yeah, but I'd probably go towards that Southampton. 2-1 looks at a really good price there.
Brilliant stuff. The 8:15 kickoff on Thursday is Aston Villa taking on Manchester United. This one on Sky Sports. Brian, we've talked about Bournemouth. They look probably resigned to Championship football next season. Aston Villa are another that look in a similar situation, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And they're having the same sort of struggles as Bournemouth and even Norwich this season. Up front, you know, they're struggling to score goals. They probably paid big money for Wesley up top in pre-season. He's been out injured for all of 2020. They don't really have a replacement for him. Keenan Davis has been playing up front for them. He's yet to score a goal. Sort of void of ideas, really. I can't see them getting anything out of tonight's game. And I think they're doomed for the drop.
What are Paddy Power pricing this one up at?
Villa are 9-1. The draw is 9-2, and United are 2-7. Interestingly enough, United are actually a bigger price to beat Villa earlier on in the season at home than they are tonight. They're shorter tonight than they were at home earlier on in the season.
Mark, we spoke about United at the top of the show. They've really clicked, haven't they? And I know that it hasn't just been post COVID, because the form was beginning before that, but they look the real deal now.
They do look the real deal. But betting's all about, it's all about price. And Manchester United at 2-7 to win away at Aston Villa. I mean, this is like going back to the Fergie era, you know, United, you know, the kind of betting buzz around them. Too short. It's one of them where, you know, like in poker, where you feel like you're beaten, but you've got to make the call just in case. I mean, I think there's two ways of playing this one. You could either just do a straight double chance, Villa and draw, or you maybe, if you want to play it a bit more cautiously, then Villa plus 1.5 on the handicap, because they, or plus 2, because they played, I thought they played okay at Anfield on last Sunday and could quite easily have got something out of the game. In fact, you know, with sort of half an hour to go, I thought they were probably just as likely to go on and win it. I mean, it was only a couple of weeks ago, Chelsea went to Villa Park and they were 1-2 to beat Aston Villa. And Manchester United are 2-7. Like, you cannot tell me that Manchester United are that much better than Chelsea. It's just not true. So either that 1-2 was a massive bet, or this 2-7 is a little bit on the short side. And you go back to that game the other week, Jack, when they played Norwich. Man United were 4-7 to beat Norwich, 4-7, 8-15. I know they were punted, into shorter prices, but they're a shorter price to beat Aston Villa than what they were Norwich. I don't know. It's just too short for me. I mean, they're playing brilliantly, United, but even the best teams, even Liverpool, don't win every week, nor do Manchester City. I'd have much more faith in those two at that kind of price at Aston Villa than what I have United.
Yeah, very fair argument. Bobby, can you see any value in this game at all?
Looking at the goals markets, that's the way I've gone for this one to try and get something out of it. Over 2.5, 6-10, possibly even over 3.5, 7-4. I think the way United have been playing, the scoring for fun, aren't they? They've scored at least 3 goals in the last 3 games. And Rashford is now amongst the goals. We've seen Mason Greenwood playing fantastically well since he's come into the side. Looks like he's got a really big future with the club. Anthony Martial seems to be settling into that centre-forward role. Not sure if he's the long-term answer to that situation, but he's definitely slotting in really nicely there with very few other options. Obviously, Igalo seemingly playing the backup. And even the midfielders starting to chip in as well. Bruno Fernandes, one of them, but others having an impact too. So I just think they've got so many tools to go and cut down Aston Villa in this game. Still defensively, I think United have got one or two issues that maybe need ironing out. I think Harry Maguire needs a better partner long-term, and David De Gea has obviously made a few mistakes as well. So you can't rule Villa out from maybe getting on the score sheet in this one, and that's why I tend to go towards that over 3.5. I'd expect United to be good for 2 or 3 and Aston Villa maybe getting on the score sheet. So yeah, you just can't really be backing United at the price they are for the outright win. I think you've got to be looking at the other markets to try and boost yourself going into it.
Great stuff, Bobby. Okay, let's move on to match week 35 then. This takes place, or starts, I should say, on Saturday. And the early kickoff is Norwich City against West Ham. That's on BT Sport. Brian, how are Paddy Power looking at this?
It's 5-2 Norwich, 5-2 the draw, and West Ham are even money.
And I suppose, what's your bet in this?
Yeah, it's an away win for me. West Ham, even money. You know, it's hard to have any hopes for Norwich if you've looked at them since the research. They've scored 5 goals in their last 14 league games. They're playing like a team who's given up all sort of hope. They're void of ideas. And I think it's a real shame. Well, for me personally, as a neutral, you know, at the start of the season, it was refreshing to see a team come up and stick to the football they were playing that got them into the league from the Championship. But from early on, it was clear that, you know, the way they were playing, it was never going to yield enough points in the Premier League to stay up with the players they have. There hasn't been a plan B all season, and unfortunately, they're doomed for the drop now. I think I was listening to the podcast last week, Jack. I think you summed it up well when you asked if Norwich could provide an upset at home to Brighton. You know, that's really how far the expectations have fallen. And then you went ahead and you said at the top of the show you actually backed the Racing Post snap last week against Norwich as well. So look, if the players don't have any hope, the fans don't have any hope, it's not looking well. And I think as well, West Ham losing, they lost to Burnley last evening. That's probably the worst thing that could have happened for Norwich, because West Ham aren't safe yet. They'll be targeting this game out of the four they have left to get safety wrapped up and 3 points to get them across the line. So away win for me.
Yeah, Mark, it was interesting. I remember you saying last week, in terms of the Norwich-Watford game, Nigel Pearson was going to be, you know, looking at that Norwich game as the one to win. And as Brian's mentioned there, it's going to be a similar case for West Ham, isn't it? You know, looking at this game as the one to pick up all 3 points in.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say, though, is I did back Norwich on, when was it, Tuesday? Or was it when? The games are just coming. They're just all over the place now. But whenever it was, I backed Watford to beat Norwich. I was never comfortable, I have to say. I don't know if it was Watford not playing that well or if Norwich did actually perform better, but it just made me a little bit nervous about backing West Ham, who've only won 3 Premier League games since Christmas. But for all of that, I think it's going to be a low-scoring match, and maybe West Ham 1-0, 2-0, Dutching those, correct score. If you have a look at the expected goals from FBref in terms of Norwich, they're 5 matches since the lockdown. Their total expected goals for those 5 matches is under 3, which I think tells you a lot about the not creating chances that was happening earlier on in the season. That's disappeared. So I'm going to go for a narrow West Ham win.
Bobby, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with Mark there. I think one of West Ham's problems has been the fact that they spent big on Sebastian Haller over the summer. Obviously, he'd done really well in Germany. He's now got that injury, and they'd sort of been geared up to play to him a little bit with his height and using his physicality. Now they haven't got that centre forward really to be aiming at. They've had to try and do something a little bit different. And I think that's what's been tough for them, especially since the restart, trying different options through the middle up at the top. But looking at this one, I think West Ham at evens is a really good price, to be honest. They have shown some fight over recent weeks. I know David Moyes says a lot in his press conferences and doesn't always follow through with those promises. But he did say a couple of weeks ago that they need to start fighting. They need to start being more clinical. And taking aside that loss to Burnley last time, I think they have looked better. They seem to be moving in the right direction. This is a really key game for them as well in the running, obviously, against rock bottom Norwich. But they've got Watford, they've got Aston Villa still to play, as well as Manchester United. So I think of those 4 games, 3 of them are certainly winnable for West Ham. You look at it in terms of who's down there at the bottom of the table, and some sides have got some extremely tough runs. So I think West Ham, if they can get a win in this one, puts them in a fantastic position, maybe needing just a couple more points then to steer clear of relegation. So I think there's a big carrot dangling there in front of them ahead of this game. So West Ham at evens for me.
Yeah, an important game for West Ham, that one. Sadly, game over for Norwich City. The other 12:30 kickoff, I know Mark said the other week that there's games, because they are so thick and fast at the moment, that you almost just forget about. And I think this might sadly be one that I completely forget about. It's Watford against Newcastle on Amazon Prime and also Twitch. Brian, what's your bet for this?
I am going to go with Newcastle draw no bet at 23-10. So Watford are 4-5. The draw is 5-2, and Newcastle are 7-2 in the match bet. But Watford, I didn't see them against Norwich, but looking at the highlights and the stats, they created very little clear cut chances. You know, Danny Welbeck has scored a worldie to get them out of jail and get the 3 points, but you certainly can't rely on them every week. I did see them against Chelsea the week before, and again they offered very little going forward. So Newcastle, for me, they've been fantastic since the restart. Okay, they were well beaten last night against Man City, but I think they were missing a couple of players. Say Maxim was out with a knock, and Almiron, I think they will be back for Saturday. So I definitely wouldn't want to back Watford at odds on. So Newcastle draw no bet, 23-10, I think is good value.
Mark, you have a similar mindset here?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe just the draw, just because actually, you know, every point could count, couldn't it, for Watford? And say they were drawing with 10, 15 minutes to go, I wonder if they'll really push for the win. I don't know if they've got it in them at the moment to do that. I was very unimpressed against Norwich. They feel like they're playing with a lot of pressure at the moment. As far as Newcastle were concerned, yeah, I'm not overly surprised. I just sort of rolled over a bit against Man City. It's a really difficult game anyway. But you know, if you were, you know, rested Almiron for the game, for, you know, for instance. So I think he probably, Steve Bruce probably felt like they had more chance in this game against Watford anyway. I expect it to be low scoring, quite nervy as far as Watford are concerned, and Newcastle maybe not having a massive amount of quality either. So couldn't even put you off no goal scorer.
Okay, Bobby, I think to be fair to Watford, when I watched them on, you know, in the week against Norwich, they seem to be quite a clever Premier League side in the sense that when they need to draw a foul, they will to relieve pressure. They, you know, win throw-ins up the pitch. Just the really dirty parts of the game, they do quite well. And in games like this, that could be crucial.
Yeah, I think Watford will probably do enough to stay up this season. Nigel Pearson came in, had that little bounce, didn't he, in terms of results. It's not quite continued as they hoped it would, but he's a really good manager. They've got some experienced players in that squad as well. Nucleus of the team has been together for a fair few years now. So I think they're clever enough to keep their place in the Premier League. But in terms of this match, I'm having to go towards Newcastle as well. That is depending on Alan Saint-Maximin playing, though. Played against West Ham, didn't miss the last game, and Steve Bruce admitted after that West Ham game that it was just too much of a quick turnaround for him. It's had such a great impact, in particular, since the return to football. Fantastic player, I think, really stepped up, and one of the best buys of this season when you look at it in terms of money paid out for him, I think. So if he's playing, I think Newcastle win this one, and maybe comfortably by a couple of goals. But I just can't really make much of an argument for Watford. I think they'll try and make this one gritty and a little bit dirty, but I think Newcastle's quality, and we've seen what Saint-Maximin has done, in particular against Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago, made their defence silly, really, and I think Watford could be in for a similar afternoon, a bit more treatment from him.
OK, good stuff, gents. The 3 o'clock kick-up on the Saturday sees Liverpool take on Burnley. This is a BT Sport fixture. Brian, how are Paddy Power looking at this?
We are 2-9, Liverpool, the draw is 9-2, and Burnley are 10-1.
Where's your money going here? Where's the value?
Yeah, so Liverpool fans might be laughing at me here, but I'm actually, for the remainder of the season, the last four games, I'm going to be laying Liverpool. So I'm going to back the opposition plus one. So I'm going to back Burnley plus one here, or double chance at 11-4. Look, we all know Liverpool 100% have deserved the league title this season. They've been far and away the best team in the league, but I just think the psychology of already having won the league. I know they won again last night, but Klopp will be as motivated as ever to finish the season out as Centurions and break as many records as he can before the season is over. But I just don't think all of the players will be as focused and will be given 100%, commitment in each game. You know, they've won it already, especially the younger players, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Gomez, even Robertson. You could see in the last couple of games they haven't been as good. Their performances haven't been as good as since before they won the league. So we saw against City, obviously they're very sloppy. They played Villa last week. They had 6 shots at home in the whole game, far and away their lowest amount of efforts on target. So I think they can be got at. Burnley, you know, have been fantastic. I remember pre-season and at the start of the season, people were saying it's been 1 year too long now for Sean Dyche, but it's the same old story with them. Not great football to watch, but he does get the results when it matters. Three wins and a draw in his last four games. Another win last night away to the Hammers. You know, they'll be going into the game with absolutely nothing to lose. They only need 5 points from their last four games to equal their best ever Premier League tally, and you wouldn't bet against it. So I'm going to take a punt here on Burnley double chance at 11-4.
Yeah, we spoke about them last week on the podcast, didn't we, Mark, about Burnley? And again, they're picking up results.
Yeah, one defeat in 12. I suppose the caveat to that is that the defeat was in a game of, you know, against similar standard of opponents when they were beaten 5-0 at Man City. I'm not expecting a 5-0 here, but, you know, had they played a Liverpool away from home in their last, in each of their last 12 matches, you know, they wouldn't have been unbeaten, you know, in that run. So, I mean, you know, comparing the form to a Sheffield United at home, like they had last week when they drew to Liverpool away, even a sort of semi-interested Liverpool, you know, I think this will end up in a home win. But I agree, you know, what Brian's saying there. I think there are times when you just don't need to back sort of, you know, fours on shots or whatever. And this is one of those when you got a championship winning team that's playing against a dogged side. And David Moyes said on Wednesday that he couldn't believe how hard Burnley were trying to keep their clean sheet. The one that interested me, and Liverpool have been sort of changing their team up in recent weeks, understandably so. Naby Keita starting to show little bits of form that I was sort of expecting of him sort of the whole way through. If you go back to when he signed, I and lots of other people were expecting big things from him after what he produced in Germany. Of all the signings Liverpool have made over the last couple of years, he's probably been the most disappointing of sort of, you know, in terms of the big name ones anyway. But I think there are signs that he's coming good. He's obviously very fresh, hasn't played a huge amount this season. He's 12-1 to score first. If he starts, of course, you know, Burnley, sort of team that defend deep, really deep, and you can get your shots away from the edge of the box. And I'm expecting them to, you know, to be sort of camped in their six-yard box, because, you know, that's the best way of nullifying Mane and Salah anyway. So it might open the door for Naby Keita if he starts.
Great stuff, Mark. Bobby, I was shocked this morning to see that Pope is currently leading the Golden Glove awards. I think he's a couple of clean sheets ahead of Alisson. I mean, that could possibly come into play here. That, as Mark said, they're desperate to try and keep clean sheets, aren't they?
They are. That's what Sean Dyche loves, isn't it? The hard work of his side, good organisation. He demands that really from his team. That's why they've had so much success over the last few years. And even last season, was it, when they started off in the Europa League and made that poor start, he went back to basics and made sure that they were able to stay clear of relegation and come out once again fighting this term. I'm actually leaning towards Burnley as well. I think that double chance looks really inviting, 9-1 for a Burnley win as well, if you're a bit braver. I just think the way that Burnley are so well organised means that Liverpool are probably going to struggle to break them down. They've, for me, not quite clicked since they won the title, obviously against Aston Villa. They were maybe a little bit lucky at times to come through that game in the way they did. I think even against Brighton last night, they just look a little bit like they can't be bothered to defend properly at times. I think they're getting forward and doing the attacking side of the game great, but on the back foot, that they're maybe not quite as coordinated as they've been en route towards the title. So I think there's every chance for Burnley here. And they've got so much to play for, of course, with Europe, beating West Ham last time out. I think, for me, you've really got to be looking towards that away victory. It's tough, I suppose, to really get on board with it when you consider how good Liverpool's form is at home. It goes back years, doesn't it, for the last defeat. I think it was against Crystal Palace a few years back now. But yeah, I would be tempted by Burnley bringing that record to an end, maybe getting a victory, if not at least a draw from them.
Well, there we go, listeners. Lots of love for Burnley in this week's podcast. Let us know how you're seeing this one. You can tweet us at Racing Post Sport. The 5:30 kickoff on Saturday sees Sheffield United take on Chelsea. This one is on Sky Sports. Brian, prices for this, please.
Sheffield United are 5-1, the draw 11-4, and Chelsea are 8-15.
How are we seeing this?
Yeah, I'm gonna side with the underdog here again. I'm gonna go Sheffield United, and again I'm gonna use that handicap +1 is 7-5. So their performances really after the restart originally were quite poor. Newcastle and United went through them quite easily, I think. It looked like, you know, their good form earlier on in the season had come to a stop, and they were going to continue to sort of slip down to mid-table. But they have had two big home wins recently. Spurs, they bet 3-1, and again last night against Wolves. You know, those wins could kickstart momentum to sort of finish out the season strongly, and secure that elusive European football for them. They gave up barely any chances against Wolves yesterday. Chelsea, they find themselves in third place now. You know, I have to say I've been surprised with the results they've had this season. I didn't think the squad they had at the start of the season would find themselves third in the table at this stage. But Lampard, as the season's gone on, he's got the best out of Pulisic. Willian, especially since the return of play, he's been in phenomenal form. Giroud has scored in his last two games. That's an incredible turnaround for him after he was completely out of favour under Lampard at the start of the season. But I think just at the prices, I can't bring myself to back Chelsea away from home at 8-15. They give up lots of chances. We saw against West Ham, they were pinned back. They conceded 3, and they conceded 2 despite beating Palace the other day. They've only one clean sheet away from home in the league all season. So the price doesn't entice me at all. So I'll go with Sheffield United, double chance, 7-5.
Yeah, Mark, we know how good Sheffield United are at home. Will you be siding with them here?
Siding with them as much as I wouldn't be backing Chelsea. I thought the draw was the one to be on in this game. I mean, Sheffield United have given most teams a horrible sort of game at Bramall Lane. And, you know, they've beaten Wolves, have beaten Spurs. They took down Arsenal, didn't they, earlier on in the campaign. Man United had that chaotic... Was it 3-3 in the end, that draw? There was, you know, even Man City and Liverpool had to work really hard before they got the wins. And, you know, West in terms of the prices, Chelsea are going off sort of similar price to what they were against West Ham away from home. And, you know, that looked an easier game to me on paper than the Sheffield United one. And they lost that, and they didn't deal with a set-piece situation at all. And, you know, Kepa just doesn't convince at all in goal. I mean... You know, when you look back, I think probably over the last 5 years of, you know, terrible transfers, he'll be right at the top. I mean, it was a world record fee for a keeper. I know they were in or certainly around that. You know, they were in a bad spot, weren't they? Because Courtois was leaving for Real Madrid, and Kepa had showed good form in Spain. So I can understand why they did it. But, I mean, he just doesn't save enough shots, doesn't command his box particularly well. And I think that Sheffield United will target that, you know, for all the world, that they'll look to get their goals from those type of situations. Chelsea might win, but, I mean, I wouldn't be backing them.
And Bobby?
Yeah, I'm going to have to break ranks here. I'm going towards Chelsea. Chelsea and both teams to score is what I've been looking at. As Brian mentioned before, Chelsea don't really keep clean sheets on the road. I think they do struggle organisation-wise with Frank Lampard at the helm. It was the same with Derby last season. Good going forwards, but questionable at the back. And I think that's something that he needs to try and resolve over the summer. Already made those attacking signings, but I think maybe a new arrival at the back could be just what's required to take them to that next step, and possibly even a new goalkeeper that they have been linked with quite a few. I know Jordan Pickford's one that's been mentioned with them. I don't know if he would solve their problems either, to be honest. But I fancy Chelsea. I've enjoyed watching them since the return in particular. I think that they've looked great on the front foot, playing some really fast-flowing football. And they've got interchangeable forwards as well, which I think is key. Frank Lampard's got that depth in attack. He can either go with Giroud or Abraham through the middle, and then he's got a few options in those wide areas. So I'm really tempted by the Chelsea and both teams to score. Sheffield United have struggled for clean sheets at home of late. They've only kept 2 in the last 6 at home. They were keeping a lot more towards the start of the season, although Dean Henderson's a fantastic goalkeeper in contrast to the man at the other end in Kepa. I just think that Chelsea are going to have too much for them in terms of firepower in this one.
Yeah, I think Chelsea fans will be happy with what they've seen this season. The 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday sees Brighton take on Manchester City. This one is once again on Sky Sports. And how are Paddy Power pricing this up, Brian?
Brighton are 17-2. The draw is 4-1. And Man City are 3-10.
Where will your money be going here?
Yeah, you can't look past City here. I'm going to go with them to win 2-0 at 6-5. They've never failed to beat Brighton in the Premier League, and I don't think it's going to be any different. You know, Brighton have heavy defeats at home recently against other teams in around the top five, United and Liverpool again last night. It's a game I doubt many of the Brighton players are looking forward to. You know, they're just about safe. I can't see Villa or Bournemouth picking up the 10 points needed to overtake Brighton. So they'll probably set up for damage limitation. City, you know, we say it every week on the podcast, a wealth of talent to choose from, no matter who plays. You have the extra subs that they can bring in as well. Rested, you expect them to win here. So winning a clean sheet, 6-5 for me.
Mark, are you in agreement?
Yeah. I was looking at maybe a different way of getting with City, and I thought maybe on the double result, half-time, full-time. I mean, United and Liverpool both raced into the lead against Brighton. I found it very interesting. Graham Potter was talking earlier on this week when he was sort of describing what it's like at the moment. He said it's like trying to fix a plane while it's in the air. and I can sort of... I mean, there's probably a lot of people that can sort of understand that at the moment, the way things are. And, you know, to come off of playing Liverpool and then go straight into Man City a couple of days later. I mean, it's not ideal. They kind of play a bit like Man City do in terms of, you know, the possession. And I remember when they played at the Etihad earlier on this season, Guardiola, as he always is for teams that he beats, he's full of praise for the way that they played. But I just think if you played City like that, you know, more often than not, you know, They'll win. They're a great team. They're a little bit nervy backing them when Aguero doesn't play, because I just prefer him by a considerable margin to Jesus up front. But even that said, I expect City. They're massive squad helps at this time of the year as well, and I think they can get in the front early and then stay there.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough clash of this one, Bobby, for Brighton. But is there any hope for them?
I don't think so. I mean, it is commendable the way that they've played their football this season. I think I'm a big fan of Graham Potter, not just for his footballing philosophy, but for what he seemingly does off the pitch as well, as all those stories of when he was at Östersunds in Sweden and putting on the talent shows for the town and getting all the players involved. I'd love to see that at Brighton as well. But in terms of the actual football, I think it sometimes needs to be fine-tuned for games like this against City and against Liverpool last time out. As I say, maybe he wants to keep that sort of pattern going and hopes it will eventually build into something quite special. But we saw City against Newcastle last time out, and in particular David Silva. It was a masterclass from the Spaniard. I think probably likely to be benched for this one. He doesn't tend to play two games in a row now or start two games in a row. For me, I'm looking at the handicaps, -1 City or -2 City on the handicap. They've won by at least three goals in three of the last four against Brighton. So again, just trying to get that value out of the City win, really.
Okay, thanks, Bobby. Sunday's and Monday's action still to get through, plus the boys' naps. They won last week. Can they do the same again? We'll see you in a moment.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello, welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post. Thank you so much for tuning in. Myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside Mark Langdon and Bobby Jackson from the Racing Post Sport Desk and Brian McDonald from Paddy Power. Sunday and Monday's action to get through then, and we'll start with Wolves versus Everton. That's 12 o'clock on Sunday, live on Sky One and also Sky Sports. Brian, how are Paddy Power seeing this one going?
We have Wolves at even money, the draw 9-4, and Everton 11-4.
Will you be going with Wolves here?
No, I don't know. I won't be. No, I think I don't think this is going to be a good game. I'm going to go for a bore draw sort of. Wolves have 2-1-0 wins, you know, against Bournemouth and Villa, and 2-0 now in their last four games. I think they might just be running out of steam towards the latter stage of the season. I think teams have smartened up. We saw Sheffield United last night blocking sort of that Traore and Jimenez link-up play. and even Doherty and Johnny down the flanks were stopped getting forward as much as they're used to. Everton as well, we touched on earlier, still a bit sloppy for me in midfield, error prone, don't take too many chances. So I think it's going to be a drab affair. I don't think I'll tune into it, but going for a 0-0 or 1-1 draw, the draw is 9-4 there for me.
Yeah, Mark, it felt like I had Wolves in my bet slip at all times a few weeks ago. But as Brian alluded to there, gone off the boil slightly, haven't they?
Disappointing results against Arsenal and then against Sheffield United. Looked like an end to that Champions League dream, at least in terms of a league position. Of course, they could still win the Europa League. You wonder if they might actually start thinking about that because not long until the competition starts. For this game, I was thinking half-time draw. You have a look at Everton. We're speaking before their game against Southampton on Thursday. 16 half-time draws in 33 matches. Wolves are bottom of the first half table this season. If you want to bump that price up, maybe the 0-0 at half-time, around about the 13-8 mark. It could be a slow burner.
And Bobby, what about you, mate?
I'm going towards Wolves in this one. I know they've lost back-to-back games now, but as you said, they had been almost perfect really since the return before those successive losses. I think Nuno will be demanding a big response for this one back on home soil. Of course, no fans there, but they'll still be, I think, a good value for this one at evens. Everton have only won four times on the road this term, and they tend to lose against teams that are ranked higher than them. Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal and City, they're the last four teams ranked above them that they've played away from home. They've lost all of those games. So I fancy Wolves placed higher than them to go and win this one.
Great stuff. It's a really big week for Aston Villa, and this is a massive game for them on Sunday. 2:15 kickoff on Sky Sports. They take on Crystal Palace. Brian, what's your thoughts here?
I'm going to go with a Villa win just simply because they have to. You know, Crystal Palace, they're at nothing now, really. They went on their run either side of the break and play. They got four wins on the trot, and they're safe now. They've absolutely nothing to play for, and their recent performances have reflected that. They've four defeats on the trot now. So if they can't put up a performance good enough to be a Palace team to have been on the beach effectively for 3 or 4 weeks, then they don't deserve to be in the division. So I'll take my chances with Villa at odds against their 6-5.
Mark?
No, I disagree. I'm struggling to back Aston Villa at 6-5. You know, to beat anybody in the Premier League. I'll go for Crystal Palace. I'll take on board, you know, all the fact that they don't need anything from this game. Their season, you know, the performance against Liverpool, you know, they didn't really turn up in that game. Zaha got injured early. Cahill has since got injured, which, you know, it is a blow against. But I thought they played okay against Chelsea. I mean, it was a 3-2 where I know some Palace fans thought they were really unlucky not to pick anything up. Leicester was just horrendous individual mistakes. Burnley can Burnley a lot of teams. Palace won't be the only ones to get done that way. Yeah, if you have a look at three of their four defeats, they've come against Liverpool, Leicester and Chelsea. I think in isolation, you'd expect them to lose all of those games anyway. They're sort of in excess, aren't they? 2-1 to beat Aston Villa. I just think it's too big a price, and if they don't win, they don't win. But I'm happy enough with the price.
Bobby, I suppose it shows here, doesn't it, how poor Villa have been, that they're at home against the Palace side and still odds against.
Yeah, it's not been a great season on the whole for Villa, has it? Good friends with a Villa season ticket holder, and he's been reporting back to me about the troubles and the disappointment watching him. I think he almost preferred being in the Championship where they picked up a few more wins, but I just think this game is one that I'll be missing, to be honest. I can't see much excitement in it. I'm looking at the unders markets, under 1.5 goals, 23-10 is maybe where I'd be leaning. Last two editions of this fixture have finished in a 1-0 win to the home side. So you might suggest that takes you towards Villa getting the win, but I can't realistically nail my colours to the mast in terms of one team getting it outright. Palace, the second lowest scorers in the league as well, so to me, it's all pointing towards a 1-0, possibly even at a goalless draw here. I just don't think there's going to be too much interest in it.
Yeah, very well. If there's nothing you fancy, then there's no need to have a bet, is there? 4:30 on Sunday. This is a tasty one. Spurs taking on Arsenal. Mark, we'll come to you here first, mate. What do you think is going to go on here?
I think that, that Jose Mourinho will be absolutely delighted that there's no fans in the stadium, because had there been fans, he'd probably feel like they had to attack in this game. And if they attacked Arsenal, I think that that would be big trouble at the back. But I expect him to play this game a bit like they did against Manchester United, you know, where even though they were at home, they sat deep, they waited and waited for a mistake. And the mistake came. They weren't able to hold on for the 3 points. But I expect a pretty similar sort of display, really. I think that I really like what Mikel, as a Spurs fan, it's pretty painful to say, but I really like what Mikel Arteta is trying to do at Arsenal. I think you can see already, you can see the signs of what Pochettino did at Tottenham, where he had that initial bit where he had to get rid of a lot of people in the dressing room that just weren't right. And, you know, he trusted in younger players. Not all of them younger players will stay. You know, you sort of, your Ryan Masons or whatever it was at Spurs, you know, they helped him get you so far. But, you know, then you really, and then you kind of up the quality. But you need to get rid of the bad eggs first. I think he's done that. I can see the structure in what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it. I think this is a tight game. We'll come to the betting in a minute. Not a huge amount between them in terms of the Premier League table. Of course, Spurs are at home. A tight match for me. There's a bit of a history of draws in this fixture. It's sort of more than half in the last 11. I think it's 6 of the last 11 have been draws in the Premier League. Wouldn't be amazed if this was a draw. If you wanted to lean one way, I'd probably just edge towards Arsenal. But I think in terms of the prices, you know, when Tottenham and Arsenal both went to Sheffield United recently, and Spurs were a shorter price than what Arsenal were, and now we're coming, you know, to a game at White Hart Lane, and we're struggling to find favouritism. So I'm not sure there's massive value. I was hoping for a bit of a bigger price on Arsenal, and then I would have definitely gone for them. So the draw.
Can you split them, Brian?
Yeah, like, as an Arsenal fan, there might be a hint of bias here, but I am going to back Arsenal for the win at 9-5. I agree with a lot with what Mark was saying there about Arteta. You know, obviously they were the laughing stock of the league sort of when it first restarted with their calamities against City and Brighton. But even the performances in those two games weren't actually too bad, aside from the sort of individual calamities with David Luiz and Guendouzi in the games. You know, the performances and the results since those two games have been very good, even though they've lost Leno, they've lost Martinelli. Arteta's gotten rid of the bad apples. Guendouzi and Ozil are left out altogether. But I really like what Arteta's doing. I think all the players have really bought into what he's trying to do there. They're playing for him. Aubameyang, he looks like he's enjoying his football again. Saka, Martinelli, I mentioned, then Ketia, all the youngsters, they look really good this season. So obviously we still have, you know, defenders at the back who are prone to sort of kamikaze crazy defending, which is down to sort of their individual decision making more than tactics or instructions from Arteta. So I'm cautiously optimistic for next season with a couple of signings that Arsenal will be more competitive. In terms of this game, I haven't seen anything from Tottenham since the restart to suggest that they'll be more difficult to play than let's say Wolves away, for example, who Arsenal beat last week. So I'm happy to back them in the derby here. But also with the sort of caveat that we haven't had a defensive calamity in about 4 games now, so we are due one. So just do be careful if you are going to back Arsenal. Paddy Power, though, for this game, we do have a money back special. So as cash on all markets, pre-match singles up to a tenner if Tottenham win the game. So look, if you back Arsenal but Tottenham win, you might get your money back with us.
No, that sounds like a really good offer, that one, Brian. Bobby, are you keen on Arsenal here as well?
Well, it looks like I'm the neutral party in this one with Mark and Brian's loyalties to Tottenham and Arsenal. I'm struggling to split them, though, to be honest. For me, I'm looking at Harry Kane scoring in this game at an any-time goal scorer at 6-5. I think I'll be taking him on. He's got a great record in this derby. He scored in his last 4 Premier League games against Arsenal. Tends to step up in this fixture, and obviously, we know about his ability. He's not quite got the amount of goals he would like this season, down to injuries, possibly the change in management as well, just having a bit of an impact and slowing him down. But I think you've always got to be looking at him at that sort of price. That I think offers a fantastic bit of value. But I echo the thoughts of both Mark and Brian. Arsenal, in particular, have impressed me over the last few weeks after a bit of a wobble when first coming back. I think the youngsters stepping up, looking really good, in particular Saka, who's got that new deal now, like in Arteta, and hope he gets time to do what he wants to do there.
Brilliant stuff. Now, that's sure to be a really exciting game, that. And 7 o'clock on Sunday is Bournemouth versus Leicester. This one is also on Sky One and Sky Sports. Paddy Power's prices for this, Brian?
We have Bournemouth at 4-1. The draw is 11-4 and Leicester 8-13.
Any value in this for you?
I'm going to go with just a Leicester win. I think we spoke about West Ham sort of focusing on that Norwich game earlier on to sort of finish out the season. I think Leicester will really be focusing on this game to pick up the 3 points to sort of consolidate their top four ambitions, because after Bournemouth, they have Sheffield United, Tottenham and Man United. They're their last three games, so no guarantees of a win in those three games. So this game is must win for Leicester. So I think with Bournemouth's woes that we talked about earlier on in the programme, I think they will get the job done. Leicester, you know, they bet Palace well. They got a decent point at the Emirates, so it should put them in good stead. Away win for me.
Yeah, hard to see past Leicester here, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, I think Leicester are... fairly strong fancy, really, in terms of Premier League this weekend. Same price as what Tottenham are to beat Bournemouth. And I think you'd say that over the season, Leicester probably deserve to be sort of considered better than Spurs, even if there's no Maddison and Chilwell. They reacted really well, I thought, against Arsenal. They were bad in the first half, but you know, after particularly once Arsenal scored, they had a really sort of rough spell either side of that. But they come back, I thought, reasonably well in the second half, even before the red card kind of boosted them. Vardy scored in each of his last two, which should have restored confidence. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Bournemouth are struggling, aren't they? So yeah, Leicester away win.
Is it going to be a clean sweep here, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm going Leicester win as well. Can't really make much of a case for Bournemouth. I'd go with the Vardy first scorer as well in this one. I think he's sort of ended his goal drought, got over that century, that milestone of Premier League goals, first scorer on six occasions for Leicester this season. So I'd be looking at him 3-1 he is to be the first goal scorer. But yeah, I think Leicester win, maybe Vardy to score as well is a way to go. Just trying to get a bit more value out of the Foxes.
One more game in the Premier League to preview this week's on this week's podcast. It's Monday, it's 8 o'clock, it's Manchester United against Southampton, another one on Sky One and Sky Sports. Brian, what's your fancy here?
Well, Manchester United are 1-4, the draw is 9-2, and Southampton are 9-1. I think we'll obviously have to wait and see how the two teams play in their games before this game on Monday night. But Southampton at 9-1 looks very big to me. I think Mark talked about United being very short away to Villa this evening. I think they're quite short as well for this game against Southampton. There could be goals in it. We saw obviously at Old Trafford last week, they conceded twice. They scored five. You know, they're free-flowing attacking football, United at the moment. So I'd be on the fence about which way I'm going to side. That 9-1 looks quite big to me. I might have a look at that closer to the time, but at the moment, I think there'll be goals for sure. So I'm going to go with over 3.5 goals at 7-4.
Yeah, Mark, 9-1, very big, that, isn't it?
Too big to turn down. I mean, I think you just back it, except that, you know, that there's a chance that United's desire for the point means that they, you know, they do win and they carry on this sort of swashbuckling style that we've seen in recent weeks. But I'm just, if you have a look at who Manchester United have beaten in recent weeks, I mean, it's not exactly a stunning list. I mean, Sheffield United were missing quite a few players when they went down 3-0 at Old Trafford. I mean, you know, Brighton have been beaten, you know, just as convincingly by a Liverpool team that, you know, are been partying for the last week or so. I mean, and you know, there's no real great pride in beating Bournemouth by three goals either. I mean, you know, it's what Newcastle did. So I think we maybe need to calm down just a little bit on Manchester United. And from Southampton's point of view, you know, for a 9-1 shot, they've got a lot going for them in the fact that they've got a striker in Ings that can score goals. We know their desire is there because they showed it against Man City, and they can beat big teams. They've beaten Man City at home this season. They've beaten Tottenham at home, away from home. They've won at Chelsea. They've won at Leicester. They've drawn at Wolves. They've drawn at Arsenal. I mean, that's pretty good going. They drew against United at home as well. So, this is a team that, that's got it in them to sort of go in at big prices. You know, it's also a team that can lose 9-0 at home to Leicester. So you can't trust them completely. And, you know, that they lost to Bournemouth and West Ham at home. They're a really inconsistent team. But, you know, 9-1, you unless you back these sort of prices, you're never going to sort of hit the jackpot, are you, in footballing terms? I think there's enough reason to back Southampton at 9-1, or at least not back Manchester United at 1-4.
A case there for Southampton. Bobby, do you agree with Mark?
I think Southampton have got a chance, but I can't say I'll be backing them in this one. I'm going to go towards United, both teams to score. I think, as Brian and Mark have both just said there, Southampton have got more than enough about them going forwards to get on the score sheet. Danny Ings in particular, but others that are capable of chipping in as well. I am on the Man United bandwagon at the moment. I'm one of those that thinks they're playing some great football, and I just can't see them losing, especially back at home. This fixture has had both teams to score in the last three editions of it as well. So that's further reason to why I'd be going towards that, both teams to score. I just enjoyed watching Manchester United. I think between them and Chelsea since the restart, probably two of my favourite teams in the Premier League. I think United will have too much for Southampton.
Coverage of all the other leagues plus the boys' naps coming up straight after this break.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, welcome back to part three and the final part of the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post. Thanks so much for sticking with us throughout. I hope we've brought you some insight into all of the games. And let's have a look across the other divisions then. Bobby, we'll start with you, mate. Any other fancies across any other division you like?
Yeah, I've had a look into the Championship at a couple of games. Cardiff, for a side, I've thought have looked pretty good since coming back to football. They play on Friday, go away to Fulham, and they're 3-1 to win at Fulham. When you consider the form that Cardiff have shown, they've beaten two of their playoff rivals. Leeds have been a team they've beaten as well, aside from playoff rivals. They're automatic, of course. So I think that's a huge prize for Cardiff. I know they're on the road, but I just think that they've got a lot to offer, and I'd be going towards them. One of the other games that I've looked at is Nottingham Forest at Preston. I think the wheels have come off for Preston a little bit. They did get a result last time out, but I think just two wins at home since mid-December really suggest to me that there's a few issues there. And although they're still in the hunt for a playoff place, I think they're probably going to fall just short. My final one comes from Italy, and I'd be looking towards Atalanta. They're at Juventus on Saturday. The form of Atalanta is incredible. It's now 9 wins in a row. They've beaten Lazio and Napoli in that sequence as well. If you're not maybe tempted by the Atalanta win or double chance, then over 3.5 goals, I think. The highest scorers in Serie A this season, Atalanta, 31-20 it is for over 3.5 goals in their game at Juventus on Saturday. That'd be my three that I'd be looking towards.
I've absolutely loved watching some of Atalanta this season. They're absolutely bonkers, aren't they? We played them in pre-season, and you could see then that they were going to score a lot of goals, and they certainly have done exactly that. Mark, what about you?
Well, Bobby stole my thunder slightly in terms of there's two that I've got. The first of those is Atalanta at Juventus. I mean, and if you have a look at the prices of the game, I mean, you may well be interested to back Atalanta in the Champions League because, you know, the prices are suggesting there's not a huge amount between Atalanta and Juventus once you take away home advantage. But, you know, Juve were surprisingly beaten, I suppose, by Milan. It was Tuesday, I think, conceded 4 goals. Atalanta just got lots of goals in them, you know, that they got 3 at Lazio in a 3-3 draw when I backed them against Lazio, and they were 3-0 up and conceded 3 times late on. I mean, that is the kind of thing Atalanta used to do, but I feel like they've sorted their defence out a little bit. They're still fantastic going forward. If Juve are not at it, if Juve dip their standards, then I think Atalanta could go in at a you know, really nice price. And in the Championship, Nottingham Forest, not as confident in terms of Bobby going for the straight win, but I'm going to go for them, draw no bet at Deepdale. I think before that game against Sheffield Wednesday, when they turned it around on its head late on, Preston, I mean, they've been struggling either side of the lockdown. Forest don't get much love because their stats are not great in terms of sort of performance data. But you sometimes get that with teams that are solid defensively and maybe don't play the greatest football, but they're very effective at what they do, unbeaten away to top half teams this season. And I thought they were unlucky against Fulham in midweek. That Harry Arter goal was sensational, but it also would have been disallowed, I think, had VAR been around, because it looked like there may well have been one of those accidental handballs in the build-up to it. But generally speaking, Forest, a very solid team, and I think they can at least draw that game and look the more likely winners to me.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. One of the best strikers in the Championship as well, Forrester, with Lewis Grabban. So, yeah, always fancy Forrest. And Brian, what about you?
Yeah, I have two picks on the continent for this weekend, and it's a full house for Atalanta there in my shortlist as well. 5-2, you know, if they can win, they can cut the gap to just 6 points on Juventus with six games to play. The guys have covered everything pretty much, but they have, you know, their scoring is incredible. They've scored 85 goals in Serie A this season, 20 more than Juventus. If you look at that expected points metric, Atalanta will be top of the league at the moment. Juve capitulated during the week, so as Mark says, if they're not on the game, I could definitely see an Atalanta win there. And even sticking with Atalanta, they've been the best team in Italy to watch this season, and also one of the best teams in Europe. They're 14-1 still to win the Champions League. The draw for the quarterfinal takes place tomorrow, Friday. So if they get a decent draw, that price will shorten in. And if they don't get a decent draw, well, the way the format is now, the Champions League, a neutral venue, a one-off game, on their day, they can beat anyone. We're expecting them. We're tipping them up to beat Juventus. So if they can beat Juventus away, you can fancy them to beat anyone away. So 14-1, a nice each-way play for some Champions League interest with Atalanta to see out the rest of the season. And the other team I had are on tonight, 6:30. Levante are a decent price away to Mallorca. So they don't have anything to play for, Levante, but it looks as though they have brought their full squad to Mallorca. If you look at the points since the restart, Levante would be 8th in the league and Mallorca 19th. So 5-2 is just too big of a price on Levante, I think, this evening.
Well, much love for Atalanta. Good stuff, gents. Let's get on to the naps then.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, we had a winning treble last week. As always, these are enhanced by Paddy Power. We'll link them in the description of this podcast, or just head over to the Paddy Power website and you should be able to find them. Easy enough. Brian, we'll start with you. What's your nap?
Yeah, nice price to kickstart the nap. I'm going to go with West Ham, even money away to Norwich. We spoke about the game in depth earlier on at the top of the show. All three of us on the panel went for a West Ham win, so you're going to have to back against Norwich again, Jack.
Yeah, I can do that, as long as it's winning me money, hopefully. Mark, what about you?
I'm just thinking, Jack, of you and your full squad going to Mallorca. That'd be quite some sight. I'm waiting for Monday. It's the League One playoff final. Not much to separate in terms of motorway distance between Oxford and Wickham. So a local rivalry. I mean, they don't hate each other, I suppose, or certainly not on the Oxford end of things. I'm not quite sure how it is at Wickham, but it's going to be a feisty game. But I thought that Oxford, a bit of odds against around, I thought that was fair enough. I mean, Wickham started the season in just unbelievably good form in terms of results. Their second defeat actually came, I think it was in December, against Oxford. It was sort of 16, that's 20-odd matches into the season. And since then, Wickham have only picked up 16 points in League One. They conceded, you know, were beaten very heavily against Sunderland and a lot of the other teams up the top of the table. It was a controversial decision for them to be pushed as high up the league as what they were, due to the fact they had that game in hand. And, you know, that they then, I think, took advantage of Fleetwood falling apart. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong for Fleetwood in that first leg of the playoff semi-final. Oxford have collected 30 points since they beat Wickham, so 14 points more. They finished prior to lockdown with 5 straight wins, 2 tight draws against Pompey, came through on penalties. I think their season looks sort of more solid to me, more sustainable. And I thought odds against was fair enough for Cole Robinson's side, even though I'd love to see Gareth Ainsworth do it.
Yeah, big fan of Oxford. And Bobby, what about you?
I'm going back to one of my Championship selections, and it's Nottingham Forest to win at Preston. I am a Blackpool fan, so I'm trying not to let my bias take control in this one too much. But I think you look at Forest, and they look really attractive to me, that they can pretty much secure a playoff spot if they get a victory in this game. I think they might need one more point, and then possibly the defensive teams just outside the playoffs continue to get victories themselves. But they're unbeaten in five away from home. I mean, going back before the enforced break, they picked up some big results against sides up in the playoffs or in the automatic spots. They've beaten Leeds this season. They won at Brentford away. They got a draw at West Brom. And recently saw Bristol City, who have since evenly dropped out of the playoff picture. So they've got a bit of a history this term for putting on in a performance when they come up against a side of Preston's type of calibre that's going to be in that playoff race. I fancy them to get the win this weekend.
It was a Knapp treble winning weekend last weekend, and we're hoping on West Ham, Oxford and Forest to win this weekend in order to make it 2 out of 2. Thanks very much to Mark, Bobby and Brian for all of their insight. Great stuff. Thanks to all of you for listening as well. We'll be back again next week. We'll be doing exactly the same once again. If you are having a bet this weekend, please do remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
It's the North London Derby on Sunday, and Paddy Power are giving money back as cash on all markets if Spurs beat Arsenal. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.